Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Today's cool fact of the day is that food scientists and pharmaceutical scientists have put together something interesting. They looked at what silkworms do when they make cocoons, and they figured out that they can do on a microscopic level these nano cocoons, basically, of something called nanofibrils. And they can use these to package drugs or potentially even things like nutraceuticals into a new delivery system. And as you know, it's not necessarily about whether you put something in your mouth, it's about whether your body absorbs it. So kind of cool. This gives me some ideas for new bulletproof supplements, but more importantly, this is going to change a lot of things because right now, if you have to inject something, you're probably never going to do it. But if you can get it orally, it opens up a whole new realm of biohacking for you. So kind of a cool fact of the day. Before we get into today's show.
Hey there, ice bath lovers. Do you want to take your cold exposure game up a notch with some contrast therapy? Well, you should, because cold plunges and contrast therapy can lower stress, up your immunity, and even help you sleep better. It works better than just cold therapy alone. Well, now you can do that with the new Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tubs by Master Spas. Whether you want to relax in a hot soak or get energized with a cold plunge, the Michael Phelps Chili Goat Cold Tub has you covered. You can easily hop out of the hot water, get in the cold water, and go back and forth. When you do that, you get better results in less time, and that's what biohacking is all about. Go to chiligoattubs.com, use promo code DAVE500, and you can save $500 on any Chili Goat cold tub. I have one in my backyard. That's chiligoattubs.com, promo code DAVE500.
I want to talk about a supplement that came about directly as a result of my work in Headstrong. It's called Forbose. And Forbose is a new way of helping your body recycle ATP. And you might know if you listen to a lot of these episodes that ATP is the main energy molecule that your body uses. You take food and air and you make energy using ATP. The problem is that if that process fails a little bit, you make something called AMP, which is very hard for your body to manufacture, but then you have to pee out your AMP. When you take Forbose, it has ingredients in it. These are natural herbs and a natural type of sugar that doesn't raise your blood sugar. And that combination can actually help your body rescue this expensive molecule so you can put it back into production to keep your batteries charged, which is kind of a cool hack. It's something that I do every single day, and especially if I'm going to travel or exercise. It's called Forbose, and it's one of the many ways that you can go about upgrading your mitochondrial function. That's kind of a cool hack. And if you haven't tried it, you didn't catch that section in Headstrong, that's okay. Bulletproof.com, Forbose. All right, today's episode is going to be fantastic, and it's something I'm really pleased to be able to do. Not only, Anna, am I interviewing the one and only Dr. Mercola, but we're doing it live in the studio here on Vancouver Island.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. Mercola, thanks for coming up to the island.
Well, it was a great privilege and honor to see your Bulletproof lab.
I was pretty amazed when I found out you were going to be in the area and had a chance to come by. And you may remember Dr. Mercola has been on Bulletproof Radio before, but if you maybe don't have an internet account, you might not have seen him. But over the last 20 years, Dr. Mercola has become the number one online source for health information in terms of traffic and just in terms of impact. Like for 20 years, he's been pioneering things like vitamin D, the effect of sunlight on health, vitamins, nutrition, the importance of grass-fed things, the importance of eating your vegetables, and interviewing some of the world's top people. I've learned a lot from him, and he's here in the studio with us.
Yeah, also exposing corporate corruption, which is responsible for the misinformation and massive misinformation that confuses people and causes them to make the wrong choices.
In fact, you are one of the leading voices in the anti-glyphosate community, and I'm right there with you. Like, we've got to stop spraying poison on our soils. And your site has been really instrumental because you published the original research. Like, hey, here's who's paying for what, here's what's going on. So to have been out there fighting the good fight for 20 years has taught you a thing or two, and I think Bulletproof Radio listeners are going to learn a lot in this interview.
Yes, indeed.
The other thing is you just published an amazing book about fat called Fat for Fuel. And this came out about the same time as Headstrong. And you and I are so in alignment that I'll tell you, If you liked Headstrong and you haven't read Dr. McCullough's book from his last interview, you really need to pick up Fat for Fuel. There's a lot of good information in there. It's not the same as what's in Headstrong, but it's all complementary. Like we both see the world with the same basic principles, different lenses, and I learned stuff from reading this book. You will too. So it's Fat for Fuel.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, let's see. There's so many things I could say about you. Three New York Times bestsellers and effortless healing.
Should have been four.
Should have been four. Well, let's talk about that. So I think you sold more copies of Fat for Fuel than I did of Headstrong.
Yeah, we were the number one nonfiction book sold in the last week of May.
Wow.
On USA Today and Wall Street Journal.
And you didn't hit the New York Times
bestseller list. We didn't even, not just hit the list, we didn't even hit the top 15. They excluded us.
That's so weird.
Yeah, supposedly we sold too many books through Amazon, which is really hard to understand, but that's what they said.
You wanted to sell books through Amazon.
Go figure.
It's kind of random.
It's okay, it is what it is. The book got out there, we sold a lot of copies, and we're just excited to give people the basic foundation information that they can use to change their health, because we know it's all about fueling the mitochondria.
It is. And when you peel away the onion, you know, we it's neurotransmitters, or it's this, or it's dietary, whatever, it all boils down to energy.
It does. And that's what I love about your work, is that you recognize it's not just food, because, you know, I just came back from a low carb conference and everyone there is just food. And, you know, when I just said, I talked in an hour presentation, I talked about 5 minutes about food and 55 minutes about the other biohacks you can use to improve mitochondrial function.
Yeah. You can suck food into your cells and turn it into energy instead of fat better if you do these other environmental variables.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, the reason that I wanted to do a second interview with you was because I want to talk about that. So rather than talking about the value of ketosis, where we're both in alignment with that, but I want to talk specifically about electromagnetic frequencies. Mm-hmm. You've also been one of the leading voices going back a long time saying this is worth exposing, but not
into the depth that I'm going to be. I think that's my next book. I'm pretty confident of that, and it's going to take a year. I really want to do a good job with this, have a peer reviewed. I'll find and identify the leading researchers in the world who understand the truth and are not corrupted by the industry. And then convert that information into languages easy to understand and doable and practical recommendations.
Yeah, it's really important, because there are so many people who say, well, if it doesn't cook your tissues, then nothing happens, which frankly isn't a very scientific thing to say. You could say we don't know what happens if we're not cooking your tissues, but maybe there's something, because there appears to be evidence. In fact, there's overwhelming evidence of harm. It's just not short-term harm, it's long-term harm, right?
Well, sometimes it can be short-term, yes.
Fair point.
Absolutely, yes. Depending on your condition. Clearly can be short-term.
So you've been looking at EMFs. I've been looking at EMFs. You brought your EMF meter up here, and we've been playing around before recording the show. And unfortunately, we didn't record how much EMF is coming off all the studio gear here. But hopefully not too bad, because everything is wired by design, which I think
a big part of the solution. Is to wire yourself and stop the Wi-Fi. This is probably, in reality, the single most significant exposure people have, other than their cell phone. I mean, this is going to be remembered in the future as similar to someone who's chain smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, the damage is probably worse from this than chain smoking.
Holding a phone up to your head is just not a good idea.
It's not even recommended by the manufacturers. Every manufacturer says hold it at least an inch or two away, which is far too close still. But at least, I mean, even they admit that.
Yeah.
No one recommends that you hold it to your head.
Unless it's in a virtual reality goggles you glue to your face.
That's true.
It's a little scary.
Yeah.
I will admit, I do have an Oculus Rift.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. And you get the
I haven't used it yet. I've had it for a year, and I still haven't used it. I haven't had the free time to use it.
It took me 6 months to use mine because of lack of free time. And Elliot, fortunately, ordered the machine. And I did play it 4 times. It does have too much blue light. I did manage to fit my TrueDark glasses underneath it. As I was looking particularly dumb. But playing a 3D space game when you can't see certain blue colors, I got the aliens that handed my ass to me. But man, it was fun, Dr. McCullough. You got to try it.
Oh, I know. I used the Gear.
Right.
Samsung Galaxy Gear, which is similar. Mm-hmm. But
it's not wired in. The Oculus Rift is cool because it has a wire.
Right.
You're still getting EMF, but it's not a wireless transmitter stuck to your face, which is what's scary to me.
That's a good point.
So let's talk, because one of the things that got me all excited when I heard you're going to come up here is we got on the phone and you talked about a hack that you've been doing with hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about hydrogen and EMF?
I could. But that would be meaningless without explaining the problems with EMF.
All right, let's go down the EMF.
That's EMF more important, hole. I okay. think, to right. understand that. And I don't know that we can do that both in the context. So we might be able to squeeze it in, but it really is a lot of baseline information that's so crucial. Okay. And I'm going to be presenting this at your Bulletproof conference.
Oh, that's a good point. We should bring that up. So Dr. Mercola is one of our keynote speakers, October 13th through 15th, 2017, at the Bulletproof conference. And we're getting a many, many preview of a lot of the stuff you're going to talk mm-hmm. about. But I wanted you to pick this up because so many people, the kind of the skeptical, angry kind of people who say, oh, that can't be, therefore, you know, you're an idiot. That sort of anti-science, personal attack stuff. There's a lot of that around EMFs. And maybe 20 years ago, you could make an argument that it was only about heat. At this point, there is overwhelming evidence that there are problems. And I've got one of the guys who's been working on this for a very long time here in the studio to share information with you about the specific EMF problems. So let's just kind of go through the different Good. Things you've identified as you've been going through this.
Sure. Glad to. But before I do that, two Okay. things. One, I've never had this product before, and they didn't ask me to say this, but this is great stuff.
Oh, the fat water.
Fat water, man. I love this stuff.
Thank
it's
you.
Good. Today was the first day I had it. So second thing is just a touch back on the ketosis. And I just came back from a low-carb conference in Southern California, and a lot of the big leaders were there, and it really was extraordinary to me that the vast majority of them, almost all of them actually, believe that you should be in strict ketosis all the time.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, we're some of the only people out there teaching that it needs to be cyclical. So, and pulsed, or the new term now that I learned is targeted, which means that, yeah, I think that's more precise, you know, though it's always mm-hmm. in the language. Cyclical means you could do it every 3 days and not actually focus and time it when you're strength training, mm-hmm. which is when you want to have that peak, that anabolic stimulus. So that just point on that. But let's go back to EMF. I've known about EMF for a long time. You talked about heating in the literature, it's typically called thermal. And the radiation, the vast majority of the radiation we're exposed to is microwave radiation. And yes, that is your microwave oven. It was interestingly developed in World War II from the radars. And the right. first microwave oven was a MANO radar range. Then they had a marketing, figured this wasn't good. People didn't like that. And then they made it the microwave. So it sounded much, just cut off the radar. And so it sounded better and they sold a lot more. The key thing here, and I'm going to talk about the mechanism, and hopefully after I finish, you will implement one of the first recommendations, which is if you have a microwave, which odds are 99% of the chance that you, if you're watching this, you have one, is to take it out and replace it. I'm not saying you shouldn't heat your food. There's a time and a place to heat your food, no question. Get a steam convection oven,
yes.
and it will work just as rapidly and safely, because when you turn that microwave oven on, there will not be enough thermal leakage to heat your tissue. I'm confident of that, but what it will do is expose you to very dangerous microwave radiations at levels that are far in excess of your cell phone. So every time you turn it on, you're blasting you and your family. That you do not want to do it. Just remove it from your environment.
And I've got a plug. Cuisinart makes a convection steam oven that's incredibly affordable. It looks like a little toaster oven. It'll fit in that same slot.
Oh, yeah.
And it works great.
Yeah, that's your goal. And if you're going to use sweet potatoes, which is my favorite for targeted ketosis, I love sweet potatoes, that's the best way to do it, is to steam them.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can do it so easy in a steam convection oven. But getting back to the microwaves, so this was developed, and the military knew about this, and they there's actually been like four major reports that were published since 1950. I think the first big one was in 1971, the Naval Research Report, and there's like three others since then that documenting this stuff, that there is damage. They've done the correlations, they've done studies, and there is clear damage from it. Yet, the industry persists in saying there is no thermal damage. And what the heck does that mean? Because I've known that for a long time. I've known mm-hmm. it for over 10, maybe 15 years. And I've written about it. Some of the first papers that were written on in the Lancet, I put in there. It's non-thermal. It's not a thermal thing. They're saying it's thermal. It's not. But we don't know what it is. Now we know what it is.
And that's what the damage is. Okay.
Exactly what it is. And once you understand what it is, the beauty of it is that you can remediate it.
All right.
If you just know it's not thermal, it's like philosophical. Who cares?
There's something else to point out. We're not saying you should never use any wireless device because they make your life really good.
Absolutely. Right? I still use them, but there's ways that you compensate.
Yes.
Yes. Like, when I use my wireless device, it's actually over there, and I should have brought it here first, is the selfie stick. Mm-hmm. I only use a speakerphone, not a wired headset, and I use a speakerphone, and I put it like 3 feet away from my body.
Nice.
And even then, you're still getting significant radiation, but it's like 90% less. And, right. and I'm not guessing, I've measured it.
Right.
It's a little bit hard to measure because, what makes this radiation so dangerous is that it's not a static, steady radiation. It's pulsed, which mm-hmm. biologically magnifies the damage that it does when you pulse it. So when you have a meter, it's spiking all the time. It's never a steady level. But you can kind of get a range and average it in your head.
Okay.
So we were talking.
We're talking.
Oh, the thermal. I wanted
to the thermal. Right.
By thermal, the way your microwave oven works, this is important to know, is that it interacts with charged particles that are in the food or the tissue that's being heated up. And in our case, it's our brain typically. And it moves them and vibrates. And during this vibration, because your microwave typically is about a few gigahertz, which is about the same frequency that your cell phone operates at. So that's why they're both microwave radiation. And the energy produced by your cell phone is a lot less. I mean, orders of magnitude less than your microwave oven, certainly in the oven, but even the leakage outside. And there's no question that the leakage from the microwave oven and your cell phone does not cause thermal damage, just like the experts say. But they fail miserably on steroids to state is that there are not any biological damage. There's massive biological damage. And this is where I'm going to explain.
Okay.
This is the key. I didn't figure this out, and I'm actually interviewing him tomorrow. This guy should win the Nobel Prize, and I encourage you to have him on your podcast too. His name is Dr. Martin Paul, P-A-L-L. And if you just type in his name and EMF on YouTube, you'll see many lectures he's given. And he'll go to it in far greater detail, maybe even explain it a lot better than I am. But I'm going to try to consolidate what of my talents is to convert it to regular language. And he's an incredible research scientist. But there have been many studies, hundreds of studies,
yes.
that show when you are exposed to EMF radiation, you will increase intracellular calcium. Why is that important? First of all, the calcium is really relatively low inside your cell compared to outside. And when it comes in, it has a very important biological function. It's an incredible signal. So when you get calcium in there, it signals different things. And you need that. You have to have that. That's normal. That's healthy. You need calcium. But when you're exposed to EMF, and you get a lot more. We've known this. What we didn't know was the mechanism of how that happens.
Ooh.
Dr. Paul figured it out.
That is the Nobel Prize territory.
I'm telling you, in my view, I don't say this lightly. I mean, there's not many. I know a lot of researchers. There's not many I would recommend to get a Nobel Prize. Seyfried might be one of them, too. Who were actually in the Fat for Fuel book, where we're donating the proceeds from that project to fund his research for $1 million to continue the effort. So, Dr. Paul didn't do the initial research, the bench research, but he compiled over 24 studies that used calcium channel blockers on in vitro studies and in small animals, and then measured the damage from EMF exposure, and it was virtually nothing.
Wow.
Virtually nothing. He did this analysis in 2012, published in 2013. Dave, that's only 4 years ago.
So what happened?
Virtually no one knows about this.
Wow.
It was a landmark paper, and it won some awards and stuff, and I'm hoping he gets a Nobel Prize for it because it really is foundational. And it provides the foundational basis to argue against the existing safety standards. So that's why this is so important. I'm just trying to lay the background.
The study found in animals, you said no damage?
Virtually no damage.
From
exposure to EMFs.
Okay.
Yeah, and most of it was in vitro. There's very few animal studies, and it hasn't been done in humans. And actually, when I interview him tomorrow, I'm going to coordinate a research protocol to establish what I believe may be one of the ways to mitigate against this.
Okay, so, but how is it he was finding no damage from EMF in these things?
The calcium channels blocked it.
Because he fixed the calcium channels.
He blocked the calcium channels.
This is pharmaceutically?
Pharmaceutical, yes.
Okay, so calcium channel blockers are heart disease medications, right?
Yes, and they work by blocking these calcium channels because you know that's how they work.
So,
and
so
they have the side effect of also lowering the damage that EMF does.
So the EMFs are causing excess calcium. You take a drug that prevents excess calcium and the damage from the EMF
excess
is mitigated.
Intracellular
calcium. Good point. Yeah, of course.
Very important because that's outside. Yeah. It doesn't do anything to that. It's just inside the cell. So what does it do? It blocks the calcium channels. And more specifically, it's called the voltage-gated calcium channel, or a VGCC. Now, these are embedded in the cell membranes, and they have about 20 charged particles within them. But because they're embedded in the membrane, there's physical characteristics and Coulomb's law and some other things, and this is the key, that makes them not 10 times, not 20, not 100, not 1,000, not 10,000, not 100,000, but over 7 million times more sensitive to EMF than the charged particles inside and out the cell that they are telling us that they are basing the safety standards on.
So EMF is cooking the thing embedded in the cell
membrane. No, it's not cooking it. It's just
vibrating it.
It's activating it.
Turning it on. Okay.
Turning it on, and I'll talk about what happens. But this is important to know because you don't still know what it's doing. I'll tell it to you. I'm not hiding it from you.
Right.
But downstream, it causes the damage, and but you have to understand that those voltage-gated calcium channels receptors are 7 million times more sensitive to EMF than the charged particles inside and out the cell. That means the safety standards are off by a factor of 7 million. 7 million.
So what does that mean? Because that means are we going to all unplug our Wi-Fi forever? Go back to smoke signals?
No, I think that there's way... No. One of the things I love about you is you're a tech guy. You know, you get it, you know it. And once we understand the problem, we can develop technological solutions and
address it. Thank you. So if you're listening to this, I know a lot of tech entrepreneurs, a lot of VCs not listening to Bulletproof Radio. Here's the deal. There is a $1 trillion business here replacing the global wireless infrastructure with biologically compatible wireless infrastructure. It's not like we can't do it. But once you acknowledge the problem, there's also big tobacco style lawsuits for all the attorneys who listen. Go after the big Wi-Fi companies. Like, there's big money everywhere here, and it's time. The evidence is here.
Well, it's going to take a while for that transition to occur. Yeah. In the meantime, you need biological remediators, which what we're in the process of developing.
Yes.
So essentially, you do not want to take a calcium channel blocker.
No, those are bad drugs.
I wouldn't recommend it. But if you had to, and you had high blood pressure, or you had some other clinical indication for it, it might be a better choice than something like an ACE inhibitor.
Is there like a microdosing protocol for those? You want to maybe take a little bit?
I don't think so, because no. Good question, but I think it really is more of a reflection of blocking those receptors. So you have to either block them or not block them, or partially block them. The more you block, the safer you're going to be.
Okay. So what's actionable from this? If someone's listening to this...
Well, but forget the action. I didn't finish the mechanism.
All right, good deal.
So you need to know the mechanism. It's really important because it actually explains how, if you understand the mechanism, how you can remediate the damage.
Okay.
So once this voltage-gated calcium receptor is activated or stimulated by the EMF, in less than 5 seconds, 1 million calcium ions will be streaming out of that receptor through that channel every second.
Putting calcium into
the
cell.
Into the cell. 1 million ions a second.
Mm-hmm.
Just for one, and there's a bunch of them.
Okay.
So we fill and that the happens, cell. That happen, doesn't happen in a minute, five mm-hmm. minutes, a week. It happens in less than 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So if you're exposed to something, a microwave radiation cell, what is microwave radiation? I didn't expand on this. We'll go back to the mechanism. Your microwave oven, obviously, we talked about. Your cell phone, obviously. Your cell phone tower. Your Bluetooth headset. Any Bluetooth device. Any IoT, the Internet of Things. Your baby monitor.
Yeah, those.
Your Wi-Fi router, probably the biggest and most pernicious thing. Yeah, this is going to be criminal. They're going to look back at this as like we look at smoking now. Baby monitor, the most sensitive tissue, brains, they're exposing them to this Wi-Fi.
So here's the deal. You can get baby monitors that have a plug and Ethernet. I did that for my babies, and it was hard to find them. You can still find them.
Yeah, they're hard to find. It's less than 1%.
Yeah, just don't buy a wireless device to put in your kid's room. It's not okay.
Yeah, so the Internet of Things is coming. It's emerging. You know about that. And the next by the year 2020, I think, is when it hit like a trillion IoT devices. So the smart home, your smart thermostats. Try buying a thermostat that's not a smart thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming rare commodities. So that means every time you walk by your thermostat, it's going to be activated and it starts sending Wi-Fi signals to your router. No Wi-Fi. You want to stay away from that. So when we talk about microwave.
You have no Wi-Fi at your house at all?
I have the potential to go on, but no, I have to plug in a separate router to do that.
Yeah, I have a light switch. If I want Wi-Fi, I flip a switch, I get Wi-Fi. When I don't want it, I turn
I want
it
to
off.
Make it harder. I want to actually have to take it out, plug it to an Ethernet, and plug in the adapter.
You have to receive an electric shock before you can plug it into the wall.
Because it's I haven't, you know, I didn't, and it don't feel bad if you're just saying, wow, how come I didn't know this? I was an ignorant and delusional, like up until a few months ago when I gave a lecture at Dr. Klinghoff's presentation, and he reminded me of how damn dangerous this stuff is, and it's really foundational, maybe even more important than diet.
It is highly important. And one thing in Headstrong, I wrote about this, where I keep my cell phone, I don't keep my cell phone by my junk. Like, that's a core bulletproof rule. Because there's a lot of stuff in your organs, men or women.
Well, I'll tell you why that is.
Okay,
in a moment.
Cool. Yeah. So I found out that right where I keep my cell phone by my right femur, my right thigh, I have 10% less bone density from just having the cell phone on. And there, that's scary stuff, right? Yeah.
And you shared that in one of our interviews. And that actually, I thank you for that, because that really that was in my learning phase when I was activated. Now I'm full strong.
You're really
I'm into this. And it's my next book, as I said. So I really want to understand this as best can be known and help catalyze the research to keep us safe. Because I perceive it as one of the biggest threats that we have. Health threats.
Mm-hmm.
Health threats. So let's get back to the voltage-gated calcium channel. Once it's hit with the EMF, that calcium channel is going to flood in. So what does it do?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to stimulate the release from intracellularly of nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have increased levels of nitric oxide, it's going to combine with superoxide, which is a free radical. Nitric oxide is also a free mm-hmm. radical. Many people don't know that. It's a beneficial free radical, which is why you want to be very, very careful taking high doses of antioxidants. Yes, antioxidants are good, but if you take too many, mm-hmm. you can indiscriminately suppress beneficial free radicals
that's
your body
exactly right.
needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and nitric oxide would be a good example of that. So you need nitric oxide, it comes in, but it doesn't keep on coming in because of the voltage-gated calcium channels keeps, you know, so it goes to extraordinary high levels, orders of magnitude higher than it's supposed to. So it combines with the superoxide and it forms a really dangerous free nitrogen radical, or free nitrogen species called perioxynitrite.
Yes, one of the big bad free radicals.
Yeah, that's a bad one. And that spins off and creates hydroxyl free radicals, which are even more dangerous. So you've got all this damage, and this damage, what will it do? It will cause single and double-stranded breaks in the DNA, in the mitochondria, in the nucleus. It decimates cell membranes and proteins. I mean, it's basically accelerating aging on steroids when you have EMF.
So the EMF triggers the voltage-gated calcium.
It activates them, right.
It activates it.
It opens them up.
Okay, so now all the calcium
flows. Calcium ions fly through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They fly through into the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens next is you get, you said...
increased nitric oxide.
Increased nitric oxide inside the cell.
Inside the cell,
where
yes.
you don't want it.
Well, you
want
you
a
need
little
it,
bit,
you
but
want
not
a little
lot.
Bit, not massive
okay.
amounts.
So
right.
you wait, just like you need some calcium, but
right.
not too much. So you get too much calcium, too much...
Nitric oxide.
And then that generates free radicals in the mitochondria.
By combining with superoxide.
Okay, to get...
perioxynitrite.
Which is well known, if you Google that stuff, that is one of the worst free radicals you can have for aging.
Yeah, as is hydroxy free radicals.
Right.
So you got those two going on. So if this VGCC, the voltage-gated calcium channels, are so important, where are they? Which tissues have the highest concentration of VGCCs?
I would imagine the brain, the eyes, and
the
heart.
The brain? I don't know about that. Well, it's not been documented. I'll actually ask Dr. Paul when I interview tomorrow, but it would make sense.
The retina. It's got to be the retina.
Yeah. I haven't seen any literature discussing it, but I'll bet it is. I bet mm-hmm. you're right.
Yeah.
But specifically the heart, because the heart, of course, is one of the most mitochondria, but it's not just the heart, the cardiac tissue, it's actually the nerve tissue.
Interesting.
So what does this mean? What is the practical implications of this? And there's so many practical implications. Just from this knowledge, forgetting not even going to the remediation component. The practical component of this is that how many people do you know that have cardiac arrhythmias?
There are a lot of them out there.
You know, atrial fib, atrial flutter, you know, PACs, PVCs. lots, and they're taking very dangerous drugs. Some of the most dangerous drugs we prescribe in medicine are these cardiac arrhythmics. So I don't recommend them. I recommend remediating most likely the, one of the major causes, which is exposure to EMF. No question about it, it's going to trigger it. So, and I think we're seeing maybe not an epidemic, but certainly a large increase in the amount of people with arrhythmias. So if you have a cardiac arrhythmia, please, or you know someone you love or care about, please let them know about this. Have them watch this video so that they can help take care of it and remediate against it.
Here's a quick thing. And
treat the cause, not the symptom. The drug isn't going to, is not treating the cause.
Now, I got to say this. Dad, I know you're watching. My dad, for years, kept his cell phone in his shirt pocket right above his heart. And he had heart surgery 12 years ago. And I'm like, take it away, take it away. And he finally did, just like last year.
One of the worst
things. Thank you.
One of the worst things you can do.
Yeah, now, don't do that. If you carry your cell phone in your bra, your chest pocket, if that's all you took away from this thing, don't do that. Like, keep it away from the vital organs.
I live in Florida, and I see a lot of women sometimes just carrying their cell phone. I stop them, I tell them, because, and they usually carry it in the inside, right? Not the outside.
So it's right up there against the tissue.
And it, I don't know if you know about breast cancer, but the most common cause, or most common location, because they divide the breast into four quadrants, the most common location is the upper outer quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
When it's breast cancer from a cell phone exposure, it's the upper inner quadrant, because that's where they're holding the cell phone.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's exactly where they're holding it. So the other place, and you're right about not holding the cell phone near your testicles, because the testes have a really high concentration of voltage-gated calcium channels. So fertility, we just wrote an article about this recently. The sperm count has dropped by 50%.
Scary.
Yeah. And I firmly believe there's a lot of variables. It's not just EMF, but I believe it's a very significant contribution.
It's meaningful. And when you stack it with things that are xenoestrogens from the environment, from plastic, and you stack it with things that cause mitochondrial damage, your man-made toxins and things like that, then you have some pretty substantial just big problems.
Let's talk about the side. If we talked about the cardiac rhythm, is the decrease in fertility.
Right.
It probably affects women's fertility. The studies are a little more difficult and challenging to do on that, but it probably is a contribution also. And of course, your wife would know about that. She's being a fertility specialist. But regarding the brain, these voltage-gated calcium channels also release neurotransmitters and neuroendocrine hormones.
Kind of important.
Yeah, just a bit. So we have a massive increase in anxiety and depressive disorders, which could clearly be related to this exposure to EMF. Now, clearly, there's a lot of other variables, sleeping and nutrition and all the things that we all know about. Hardly anyone thinks about EMF exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this increasing epidemic, which is an absolute epidemic, no question about it, that you and I know about, is autism.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah. So EMF is not the only cause. I believe that glyphosate is a big contributor to that. And, you know, vaccines don't help. But I think if you don't have the glyphosate and EMF, they're not going to be as traumatic.
It's like death by a thousand cuts. Yeah. Anything that's going to cause neuroinflammation where your immune system attacks itself, all of these are documented to stack on. So saying it's one cause, I think Mark Hyman's fond of saying if you have a thumbtack in this thumb and a thumbtack in this thumb, pulling on one thumbtack isn't going to stop you from hurting. You got to take them both out, right?
Yeah. And in this case, it's a lot more than two thumbtacks. It's many. It's more like closer to 1,000. So those are some of the common diseases that are complications. You know, and of course, brain tumors. We had Ted Kennedy die from a brain tumor. We've got now John McCain, who will pass away probably not too long because they don't know how to treat cancer. I mean, even
Some of us do.
Yeah, but they don't. The conventional guys don't.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't treat everyone if it's been... You know, especially if you had conventional therapy, it becomes really challenging. But most, if you catch it early and you do the strategies that we recommend, you can almost always reverse it. But nothing's 100%, but you can get pretty close.
Yeah, a lot better than chemo.
Yeah, or radiation.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you need them, and I'm not absolutely opposed to those, but, you know, you just got to be really careful and treat it. Because you want to, ultimately, it's your immune system that's going to fight it. And if you start trashing your immune system, it's going to be a problem. So... So
we're talking about what happens with peroxynitrite in the cells.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we've got all these free radicals, and it's caused all kinds of trouble. And we know that having a cell phone near the brain, near the eyes, near the heart, these are the big sensitive tissues.
Well, it's not just a cell phone, too. Remember, it's your microwave oven.
The Wi-Fi router.
Which is much higher, the Wi-Fi routers.
Yeah. And I can tell you, we still have a microwave oven, and it works really great for storing plates.
Yeah.
We don't cook anything in it.
Yeah. Well, just swap it out to the steam convection.
We ought to. The steam convection's on the counter.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, just get it. That's fine.
So someone's listening to this. Maybe they're kind of freaking out. They're going to pull their baby monitor and replace it with a wired one. Mm-hmm. They're realizing, well, my job relies on my cell phone. What are some of the other things that you can do to lower your exposure to EMF, even though you recognize you're probably
That's a good question, because that is the first step.
Yeah.
The first step is to lower your exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're working on some biological implementations that can remediate the damage very successfully. I'm pretty confident that, well, the research hasn't been done yet, but we have some mm-hmm. pretty strong clinical evidence that suggests that it will. So the key thing is limit your exposure. I used to encourage people to turn their Wi-Fi off at night, and I still think that's a good strategy, but I think it's inadequate.
It's not enough. It just helps.
Yeah. Why turn it off at night and 8 hours and expose yourself 16 hours? You know, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I mean, if you hit your hand with a hammer for 24 hours is bad. It's less bad if you hit it for 16, but it's still best if you stop it.
I can tell you, when we had our house remediated from mold before we moved in, I had Ethernet put in every single room, and it cost about $150 per Ethernet drop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's a 24-channel switch somewhere in the house where all the Ethernet comes together, and that's where all the signal comes in. So I can get Ethernet in any room. That means I have to have the discipline to plug a device into the wall and things like that.
It's a hassle, no question, but it's worth the benefit.
It is.
Yeah, I think I've got a 48-port.
Nice.
I've got them all over. And when I moved in, I did the same strategy. It wasn't a new house, so I just had them retrofit. And you can convert a lot of the existing wires. Like mm-hmm. if you have a lot of telephone circuits, you can convert those over to Ethernet cables, as you would well know.
One warning, though, there's something called Ethernet over power.
Yes, EOP.
You take your power lines and use them to transmit Ethernet. Yes. That is not advisable, because it's going to increase the variability in your power lines.
What does it cause? Dirty electricity?
Yeah, it causes dirty electricity.
Okay.
So I don't think that's a good strategy.
Because that is one strategy that is possible if they want to avoid the expenses. You've got these, devices that you would one plug into the router, then one plug into where you would take an Ethernet.
Yeah.
So that's Ethernet over power.
It's very convenient, and it's better than using Wi-Fi, but it will induce the power inside your walls to basically fluctuate a lot, which creates its own magnetic signal that also has an effect on your
cells. Which you can remediate partially with... filters, capacitors.
I'm concerned the filters may take the signal out of the wire, though. I'm not sure. I've never tested it.
That's a good question. Good point. Okay. So anyway, I thank you. Yeah, thank you for bringing that to my attention, because I thought that might have been a less expensive strategy for people.
It's better than Wi-Fi, but not as good as just running a good old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's hard to beat the wire, and I do it. You know, I must have to plug my notebook in that I travel around my house with during my different strategies, doing the stations. You know, like 7-8 times a day. But it's okay. I don't mind it. And my Wi-Fi is off. It has not been on for over a month.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And what's not impressive is that I only figured this out recently. And I was like, boom, you know. So I'm on a mission to have people not make the mistake that I did, thinking that you are somehow biologically immune to this, that just because you think you're smart or, you know someone that you're not going to, or you think you eat healthy and you're not exposed to toxins, that your biology can somehow not be impacted by this. And I want to tell you, that is a delusion, an absolute delusion. You are damaging your cells. There's no way around it unless you're immediate with some of these strategies we're going to talk about. And you might be doing them and even not knowing it, because if you don't know the mechanism, you can't remediate.
One of the things I did, now I'm going to sound like a tin foil hat wearing guy. Mm-hmm. I've been accused of that before. It doesn't really offend me. I lived in a neighborhood with lots of Wi-Fi routers, mm-hmm. and I was working on recovering from toxic mold. I had mm-hmm. serious brain fog. I was doing ozone therapy that really made a difference for me. But I built my home office inside a Faraday cage, inside mm-hmm. the garage. I used aluminum sheeting as part of the structure for
it. Did you measure it? It went down to zero?
It went down to near zero.
Perfect.
There was a window. Yeah. You know, but overall,
what did you use?
I used aluminum backs foil sheeting with copper connecting all the pieces together
and
stainless steel tape over that.
Excellent.
So the cell phone didn't work inside,
which is
a pretty good sign.
I sleep in a Faraday cage.
That's where I was going to go with this next.
Yeah.
If I was living in a high rise where you're just surrounded by you're sleeping on top of your neighbor's router, like you have no control over that, I would have a Faraday cage, absolutely.
And don't make the mistake of doing a partial Faraday cage, which means that if you're in a large apartment building, or if you're not on the first floor, you have the radiation coming up through your bed, so you've mm-hmm. got to do the floor. So if you live in a high rise, You've got to be aware that the signals are coming up from below you. So you have to add an additional layer of fabric. And what is this fabric? It's not the aluminum foil, copper that Dave was talking about, but it's usually copper threads. We're actually in the process of seeking to manufacture some organic cotton canopies, but they also have silver and copper threads in there, which actually forms this metallic cage around you. And depending on the density of the metal fibers determines how effectively it's going to remediate against that.
And this is really important because if you imagine like a parabolic dish, like, mm-hmm. like the old satellite dishes mm-hmm. that you'd see, they receive something that bounces off of it and then reflects to a central point. If you're sleeping in a half of a Faraday cage and there's a signal coming out from underneath, you can concentrate the signal right on you. And,
good point.
I mean, that actually really matters. So here's the deal. If you sleep in a high rise with all the amazing conveniences of big city life and there's 75 Wi-Fi signals within range of where you sleep, you should expect to sleep like crap. That's what happens, unfortunately. And Dr. McCullough, you and I have written a lot about sleep hacking and improving sleep quality. EMF is a known contributor to low sleep quality. Yeah. So you're going to have to do this. You're going to have like the mysterious, sexy Midsummer Nights shroud around your bed.
Yeah. No mosquitoes if they get in.
Fair point. There's New York City mosquitoes in the high rises.
Well, but, so if they ever get in, or flies or whatever.
That's a fair point. But it is actually how we are going to live, at least those of us who live the longest and best and are the strongest and can afford it and have the knowledge to do it. It's just how it is.
They're not inexpensive. You know?
And I put one. Expensive. It's silver,
I live on the first floor and I still put one under my bed, you know, under my mattress so that there's nothing coming up to me. But there are probably $1,500 to $2,000. Per bed, as much as some expensive mattresses.
So I never thought about this. Maybe you'll make one. I don't think I will. We're doing enough with big food. Yeah,
our take on it will be organic cotton.
Yeah,
which is not as critical because you're not touching it, but it's still. It's
can
nice
you make
to have
me like a sleeping bag? So when I travel, I'm in a hotel room?
Yeah, once we get it set up, I'd be glad to do that for you.
You should sell them for other people.
Yeah, and
too,
I should do it for myself. That's a good idea.
I would travel in a sleeping bag because...
You heard it here, folks.
All right. I would pay a lot for that. And by the way, all the road warriors who listen to this, and there's hundreds of thousands of them, I think most of us who want to feel really good, I sleep on a grounding mat when I travel.
So what am I doing now? We've got my device. I use a TES 593, which is a microwave meter. And I bring it to me with me when I travel because I don't have this.
Is that up here?
Yeah, it is.
Can you grab that black box up there?
It's a black box.
TES 593. So you use this before you go to sleep in a hotel room. What does it do?
Yeah, it will tell me where I'm going to sleep. Thank you, Elliot. So we're going to take this out and turn it on. And it looks like there's a lot of different devices. Some of them are pretty expensive, like a few thousand dollars. This one retails for $500, but if you just go to Google Shopping or even Amazon, you can find it for $350. And a lot of people make the mistake. I mean, tri-field is a very popular meter, mm-hmm. but folks, please understand, tri-field meters only measure magnetic. And if you have a high magnetic exposure, as you do from an inverter for photovoltaic solar panels, that Faraday cage will not remediate against it because magnetic goes right through it.
Right.
Yeah. So this is up now, and we are going to get a live reading in your studio. So
we have Wi-Fi turned on too.
Yeah. This device has many different units, and you have to press this 1, 2, 3. Okay, to the point where it is really pretty high. We are, that you want to go to the units of microwatts per square centimeter, which is the standard measurement of energy in the United States. And also, it's actually the lowest. So
what's that, 1 point?
Well, your range, you're between 1 and 2, which is pretty high.
Yeah,
usually when I sleep, it's 0.003.
Yep.
So, yeah, but that's okay. So
not really.
You got to fix this, Dave.
No, I know what it is.
I wouldn't expose myself to that normally.
There's a switch that turns that off. We just don't have the switch off right now.
So when I go to a hotel room, I will measure which side of the bed. And literally it can be I've just been traveling and slept in different hotels in the last few days. And there was a tenfold difference between one side of the bed and the other.
Wow, so you picked the side of the bed.
I picked the side of the bed that had the least amount. Because you don't know where they're hiding these things. And the other thing, you can, if you're serious about this, you really need a meter. And you can give it to your friends and have them, because I have there's three physicians I know, two other physicians and myself, who use these. And Every single one of us found hidden sources of radiation.
Yeah.
The other sources I neglected to mention earlier, your wireless mouse, your wireless keyboard, anything that's wireless, including this ring, the Oura Ring, which you and I are both fans of, and you know, we're in the process. If you have an Oura Ring, and I know many of you do, it has to be in airplane mode. The problem, and it's a serious problem, and if you can please write the company, we need as much pressure on them as possible to fix the bug, because this will spontaneously come out of airplane mode on a regular basis, multiple times during the day. It's unacceptable, because it is a significant exposure. Now, you wouldn't know that unless you measure it, and unfortunately, most of you live in environments where the EMF is so high, you can't measure because the background is so high. So you have to have a low EMF environment to measure it.
It's one of those things, if you're getting monitoring and you're not broadcasting, there's almost no EMF from a thing, which is why I like the ring.
Yeah.
But if it accidentally turns itself on and then starts broadcasting, you don't know it, now you're sitting there. You know,
it's a significant signal. It's, admittedly, it's your hand, but you know, if you sleep with your hand on your chest, it's a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So what else could people do if they're a little concerned about this now? Is there any nutritional intervention? I mean, ketosis helps with almost everything, but it's not going to protect you from EMF permanently.
No. What you want to do is improve your antioxidants.
Okay.
And not just any antioxidants.
Fair point, right?
No. Ideally, you want to use one. I mean, this is two ways to do it. The first and most important we discussed, you lower the exposure. But there's going to be exposures which you just have no control over, so what do you do then? The cool way to do that, or the interesting approach, and there's really no studies done on this yet. We're in the process of establishing them and developing the parameters, talking to Dr. Paul, who's done a lot of this research to find out the best ideal strategy to document these remediation efforts. And I'm hoping within a year we'll have the results of that. But it appears that there's two really impressive strategies that you can use. One is simple magnesium.
Take more magnesium. You heard it here first.
Yeah. And we all know that 80% of us, the population, is magnesium deficient. So that's not a bad idea from this. But
I do 800 milligrams a day now.
I think you're going to want to increase it to closer to 2 grams.
Without crapping myself? Is there a
There's ways around. We can talk about that, but there's a lot of different strategies. That.
Disaster pants for magnesium, bad idea.
Yeah. It depends on the type of magnesium. Yeah. So there's a whole variety, and we're doing some research in this now, some novel forms of magnesium that people may not be familiar with.
I take a big mix of types.
Yeah, you definitely need a variety of different types. But you don't want to have loose stools, because that's going to be counterproductive too. But if you're not having loose stools, I would just continue to increase it. Yeah, I am confident 800 is too low. It's probably closer to 2 grams.
So most people, 400 is considered pretty hefty, and I'm doing twice that.
Oh, no. You are underdosing.
All right.
Very serious. Yeah, and you are going to see a difference.
Wow.
And especially the other strategy I'm talking about now, mm-hmm. when you travel, you're going to send me an email and say, I can't believe the difference.
All right, this is cool.
Yeah. Clearly magnesium, and we're looking at something called magnesium bicarbonate, which you can't buy, but you have to create in some exotic strategies, or maybe do it through another process. So we're in the process of identifying GRAS, generally recognized as safe, supplements that can be used and can be purchased, and you know, without having to do some of these crazy biohacks.
So you're going to talk about those at the Bulletproof Conference, how to potentially do that at home in the meantime?
I think I'm...
You should, for that crowd?
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
I just found out about this 2 days ago.
So. Okay, so I'm familiar with the stuff we talked about off camera, but I was familiar with the mixing the things together.
Yeah, so I wasn't aware of that, but I think that's probably the most, and in fact, in the limited research I've read in the last few days suggests that it's like the fountain of youth. I mean, the stuff about magnesium bicarbonate is just beyond extraordinary.
Yep.
And I had never been exposed to it before.
I had read this stuff a couple of years ago and did it once, but I couldn't find a good source for one of the things. I'm like, you know, there's so many hacks, but the research is compelling.
Especially when you understand that it's going to help mitigate the EMF damage.
So this is a big thing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is huge.
And if you're listening...
And I don't want to go into personal details, but I confirmed it myself over the weekend that it works from a biological perspective.
Okay.
It was a little mini test I did unexpectedly, but it at least in one of the tissues.
And when we talk about bicarbonate, you know about baking soda, which is sodium bicarbonate, and it's a strong alkali. But there are ways, other things. There's potassium bicarbonate, which is another thing that you might take some of, and something that I actually do use. And then magnesium bicarbonate, which is very hard to get as a supplement because
you can't buy it.
It sucks water in and changes.
Like, yeah, you cannot buy it. Yeah. It's not stable. You cannot buy it. You have to create it yourself. And there's several different ways to do it. And I'll be talking about it at Bulletproof Conference, which is a reason why you need to be there. I am so excited. I have never been to Bulletproof Conference, but I am just like ramped up. I cannot wait to go.
It's really cool to have seen biohacking emerging as a field because you were doing it before it had this name and then talking about like what are all the things you can do. And you're really one of the pioneers in the field. And so to be able to pull together a group of people from different disciplines talk about this stuff. So I think you'll definitely turn some heads with what you have to say there because I'm pretty excited. This is one of those big things.
Yeah. Now, the other big thing that I will explain more in depth at the conference, Dave has been gracious enough to give me two segments. So I have close to 2 hours there, which is great, is molecular hydrogen.
Yes.
And Dave has been is new about this for a while. In fact, he met the leader in the field, at least in the United States, which is Tyler LeBaron, a youngster, 29 years old, who can deadlift 450 pounds and run a 220 marathon. Yes, I did not mistake. Say that incorrectly. 220.
In fact, it was Tyler. If you subscribe to the Dave Asprey biohacking box, every quarter I put together a bunch of neat stuff you haven't heard of, put it in a box and ship it to you. You can go to biohacked.com. That's biohacked.com. You can subscribe. You would have received some of these hydrogen tablets, mm-hmm. I think, two boxes ago. Because the cutting edge stuff, I always put it in there and you get it. You don't know what you're going to get, but it's really cool.
So. Well, it helps if you know what it is so you know how to use it.
Well, no, I tell people how to use it, but the idea is I curate all the good stuff.
Okay.
And so people who are super into Bulletproof, they...
Good idea.
Essentially, they save a couple hundred dollars. I send them $200-$300 worth of stuff for $100. And nice. I pick out the good stuff. So that's biohacked.
Sounds like a dollar bar. I wanted to get on that list.
It's a lot of work, to be honest, but I'll send you the box for sure. But curating the box is a lot of work, but it's fun. Yeah, yeah. All the toys.
Yeah, it's great.
So,
it's a good idea.
So there's probably 2,000 people listening who know about this.
Yeah, and or at least been exposed to it. But if you haven't, Tyler LeBaron, LABARRON, just type in that and molecular hydrogen. He has his own website, molecularhydrogenfoundation.org, which is a crazy long name.
800 studies on his website about hydrogen.
Yeah, it's really good. But just type into YouTube so you can listen to some of his lectures. That's where you'll get it because he's got more time than I do right here. So, but essentially, it is the summary, the cliff note version, is it's molecular hydrogen, which is two atoms of hydrogen, the smallest molecule in the universe that can diffuse across any cell membrane, has no polarity, is a neutral molecule, and gets in there like instantly, is a selective, is probably the best antioxidant known to man. It's a selective antioxidant that does, we talked about this earlier, there's a baseline level of normal, valuable, important biological free radicals. And if we lower that, we are heading for trouble.
In fact, there's some supplements you can take that turn off free radical production in the cells. And
dangerous.
Oh my God, you take those for 2 days and you want to die. Yeah. Like you can't pick your arm up. It's horrible.
You need free radicals.
Yeah, they're important.
What you don't need is excessive free radicals.
Or the wrong ones.
And this is precisely what molecular hydrogen does. And they've done the studies. I'll show this slide when I'm there. The baseline free radicals is here, and they add a hydrogen to the same level. And then they expose a group of animals to high-dose ionizing radiation.
Bad stuff.
Which this is a real interesting fact. The ionizing radiation has enough energy because it is shorter waves. It can actually, by itself, the energy in those waves will break the covalent bonds in DNA. Cause single and double-stranded breaks. But this is a not well-known fact, is that is not what causes the majority of the DNA breakage. What causes it?
Probably peroxy nitrate.
Yes, free radical damage, oxidative stress. That causes it. So actually, in most instances, now if you get a nuclear reaction exposure like Hiroshima or something, you're going to be dead. Yes, that's deadly. But in most cases, the microwave radiation exposure is more dangerous than X-rays.
Interesting.
More dangerous than X-rays.
Because of the oxidative stress it creates.
Yes, it's the oxidative stress.
Because of the dark radiation.
So let me just finish this one slide I was trying to illustrate that I'll be showing at the conferences. They have a certain level. There's the level of reactive oxygen species goes much higher, maybe six times higher. And then when you give hydrogen, it comes down, not as low as baseline levels, but it like mitigates 80% of the damage. So what the heck? What's the take home on this? Very valuable if you happen to fly in airplanes, because ionizing radiation is also gamma rays, which you're going to hit at 35,000 feet. And I have taken a Geiger counter up, and it's like 10 times higher at 35,000 than it is at ground
level.
Especially
during the day.
Yeah. I didn't see a difference.
Oh, at night you don't see
yeah,
a difference?
Yeah, I didn't see a difference.
Interesting.
I did not. That's what David Wolf had said. And I said, I'm going to test it. And it didn't. Was the same.
Surprising. Okay.
Yeah, his theory is flawed. It was not true. But it's still bad. So how do you remediate against it? And this is what I think you're going to love, because you didn't know this. You're going to try this hydrogen now. It's going to make
it. Yeah, I've never tried it in mid-flight.
Yeah, not mid-flight.
Before.
So you want to, when you take hydrogen, you could actually breathe it all day long. Not a good idea. Your body makes hydrogen gas about 10 mm-hmm. liters a day. And so a healthy baseline, that's one of the reasons why your healthy microbiome is so healthy, mm-hmm. because it's making hydrogen gas. But when you have a steady state exposure, you don't get the other benefits. So you want to pulse it, just mm-hmm. like we pulse ketogenesis.
Right.
Pulsing, pulsing, pulsing. So that's where you get the benefit. So the strategy I use now and used on my last few flights, and it's worked marvelously. I have had no side effects from travel, and I flew across the country. I mean, it was just crazy. Literally over 10 hours of flying. So in the air. So as soon as they come as, there's a number of different ways to get it, but the most practical way for most people is going to be the hydrogen tablets. We don't sell them. We will in the future. We're going to try to have the best one out there in the market for everything. You know, it's going to be grass and the highest concentration part per million and nanobubbles and all the stuff that we're going to be doing. But we don't have it now. Probably won't have it for a year. Maybe, hopefully less. But as soon as you go up in the air, maybe at 5,000 feet, before the signal comes on that your Wi-Fi is on, you can turn Wi-Fi on now, or you can get up, you know, that's 10,000 feet. And so maybe even that time is probably okay if you have a long flight. You put the tablet in a little bottle of water.
A molecular hydrogen tablet you can buy, right?
Right.
You don't sell them, I don't sell them. So we're just talking about stuff you can buy online, right?
I can't get any problems for claims here.
No commercial relationship for either one of us.
We will do it in the future, but we're not doing it now. So because I think this is the most important supplement I take. I really do. Wow. And I take it before ozone, too. I do ozone every day. Yeah.
I breathe hydrogen gas for 90 minutes when I return from a flight.
No, I think you need to do it before. But you need to do it during the flight. So let me finish.
During the flight's cool, yeah.
So you want to put in a little bottle, preferably with a cap. Mm-hmm. So because this hydrogen gas is going to flow out, you know, so you put it in there, not cold water, because mm-hmm. it'll slow down the reaction time. And you put it in there, let the tablet dissolve completely, and then you open the cap and drink it as quickly as you can without swallowing it the wrong way.
Right.
Yeah, but because you don't want that gas, you want the hydrogen gas to go into your body, and it will work for about 2 hours. It will literally reduce the damage from the gamma rays by about 80%. If you're a flight attendant or a pilot, this is absolutely imperative. And I say about 2 hours. So if you get a 2-hour flight or a 2:30, that's fine. That one tablet should work. But if you've got anything longer, I would look at doing two tablets and put one right in the middle of the flight.
I'm going to be playing around with this, and it's funny. I sent a bottle of tablets out in the biohacking box.
And you guys can play too.
But yeah, so...
Unless you use them already.
Yeah, if you got one of those, now you know. But I never thought to use them during a flight.
That's probably one of the most important...
It's a good hack.
And even another good one is when you hack it before and after exercise. Because, mm-hmm. Exercise generates reactive oxygen species, right? And again, it's a selective antioxidant. It won't stop any of the species that are going to promote the anabolic benefits of the exercise. It'll just stop the dangerous ones.
So
it's a selective antioxidant. And this is new.
Yeah.
The first stuff, why don't you know about this? Because the first major study was published was in 2007, 10 years ago. Almost all the literature is in Japanese. Mm-hmm. Tyler went to study at Nagoya University and learned all this stuff from the experts. That's why he's a world-class expert in the U.S. And that's why you don't know about it. It's brand new.
And you can buy hydrogen water machines all over Japan now, and you barely see them here.
I don't recommend hydrogen water because it's not the pulse. You need the pulse.
But it's
They're switching from that to having the high dose, you know, just intermittently.
I'm a fan of that. I would say get some hydrogen when you can get some hydrogen.
Yeah. High doses if you can.
Yeah, it's better if you can get the high dose. But what I was going to say there is if you're lifting something, mm-hmm. right, what happens is you get the positive free radicals that are beneficial that, say, build new muscles. At the same time, you get ones that say oxidative stress, end of the world, create aging. If you can turn off the aging ones and turn on the muscle growth ones, that's cool. And that's what hydrogen gas does, which is different than, say, what a vitamin C capsule is going to do. Even though vitamin C is good at quenching peroxynitrite, it quenches the good ones as well.
Yeah, I don't recommend people taking vitamin C regularly. I think it's something especially liposomal C, mm-hmm. that everyone should have in their emergency kit, because I've never seen anything more effective. Taking like 4 grams every hour. Liposomal C, because you will not get loose stools.
Or intravenous, yeah.
You do it, yeah, but for liposomal, it's going to be a fraction of the cost, and it stirs a lot easier. And
yeah, it doesn't raise the levels nearly as much, though.
I think it may raise them more.
Wow, because, I like to
because,
see that research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Tom Levy's done it.
Okay, yeah, I know Tom.
So, it could, because it goes intracellular where you need it.
Okay.
Whereas the other, the regular vitamins.
Intracellular versus blood level, sure. So we don't want to get too far off that because we don't want to go down. That'd be a long, interesting discussion, but another episode of the show.
Yeah.
But the important point for listeners is just to understand free radicals are not good or bad. Bad free radicals are bad. Good free radicals are good. Just like bad fats are bad and good fats are good.
Well, it's not so much bad free radicals. It's you need a certain baseline. So it's excessive free radicals.
I don't know that any peroxynitrite is beneficial for us.
Well, that we know of, but who knows? Yeah, maybe you need a certain baseline.
And you're not going to get rid of all of it.
Yeah.
But the idea is to change the ratio of things. Just like we might change the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids in our diet and get a benefit by suppressing the 6 and increasing the 3s.
Yeah,
but not getting rid of the 6.
And these like free radicals aren't hanging around for hours, days, or weeks. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they literally last a very tiny fraction of a second. That's why you have to have it there right away. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what molecular hydrogen does.
So I'll definitely try one of the hydrogen tablets in water.
Bring a bunch. Just in case.
Of course. Okay, that's a pretty cool hack.
Yeah.
All right, so now we've talked about that. We've talked about some ketosis is always good. We've talked about just minimizing exposure from where you carry your devices, from Wi-Fi routers, using more Ethernet. Anything else people listening to the show today can go home and do it. We talked about Faraday cages even, but what else could you do right now?
With respect
now?
To EMF?
Yeah.
I think I would do the due diligence because this is so new. I would encourage and strongly encourage you to actually be an advocate for this because there's essentially industry conspiracy, and it really is a conspiracy. I mean, if you read the stories, it's just as bad as the drug industry, if not worse. That they're suppressing this information. It's the same damn. Any legitimate researcher comes up is defunded and discredited.
That's a fair point. That is happening.
So this information is out now. As I said, I believe Dr. Paul should get the Nobel Prize for his work. So watch his lectures, understand it so that you can communicate this to your friends and neighbors. They don't have to die and suffer prematurely because they don't know this information. And just be an advocate for it. And one important one I forgot, smart meters.
Oh, yeah.
Those smart meters. Good. You know, the same, probably worse than Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So we're recording this the first week of August or the second week of August. So the first week of August, if you go on my site, we ran a documentary about smart meters. It goes into a lot of the details and it is encouraging people to band together because they have extortion reasons. You can actually not have a smart meter in your house, but like I do, but I have to pay $35 a month to do that.
Yeah.
That's extortion.
We have some fee like that too.
Yeah, it's just, I think they do it to everyone and it's supposedly to justify the cost of having to send someone out. Well, that's not too bad, but I'm sure they're making extra money on it. And they never charged you for it before. It was already built into the equation.
It's kind of like charging your power company $35 a month for not throwing rocks through their plate glass windows, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very good analogy. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And I understand.
Other than it increases the bottom line.
Oh, of course. Well, I understand their thing is I don't want to send someone to your house because it's expensive. Bottom line is, sorry guys, you have a monopoly, you got to do your jobs. You get paid to send people to my house because you didn't pay me to basically
and
take
were
the hit biologically for the wireless stuff.
And it's not like their cost went up. They've been doing this since they've been providing power. Yeah. This smart meter thing is a relatively new introduction for most communities.
And if you acknowledge that Wi-Fi causes problems, you can engineer a smart meter that is not biologically harmful. It doesn't have to send constant usage stuff. That's all gravy. If it's going to send once a day, a daily usage thing, and send that upstream, it doesn't matter. It's a single pulse. It's irrelevant. It's the constant sending of data that they're doing. And bottom line is, guys, if you're a smart meter engineer listening to this, well, you probably already turned it off because I made you mad. But that's good or not. But here's the deal. You can fix the problem. There is such a thing as a smart meter that's not harmful. No one makes it because the demand is there, but no one's acknowledged the demand. So here's the demand. You got, what, 250,000 people listening to this? This is your demand. We'll buy those.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about the compatibility between all the different utilities, but there certainly is a need for it. There's no question. It's, and, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, I mean, you can fit that need. But I think the other message is just be an advocate. Understand this and start telling people about it. Let's start spreading the word. And I think that's what we do. You know, I realized a long time ago that really the way we're going to get this is not by going to the government or, you know, trying to change the law. That's not going to work. It has to come from the public. Mm-hmm. Public has to demand this and refuse to, I guess, relinquish their power to these authorities and rely on their belief that it's that there is that the only damage is thermal damage, and that is absolutely biologically untrue. Yeah.
So there's a long history of changing demand in order to cause change, mm-hmm. and changing supply.
And we're doing it with organic.
Well, we're doing it
and
with organic.
Glyphosate, and which is now poison.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've catalyzed a lot of that.
You've changed demand for stuff with Mercola.com.
Yeah. And the new thing is biodynamic.
Yeah. Oh, it's much better. That's our garden is biodynamic, and so is yours, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And now there's some stuff in biodynamic that's really hard for people to swallow, because if you follow the full standard, you have to like bury a cow's head full of poop or something under.
No, it's actually the horn with manure that's buried. But here's the next level is to take that manure out and develop a compost tea out of it and then spray it all over the property.
Yeah, so interesting.
So you actually spread the microbes around.
And so what's going on there is you could say, oh, that's a bunch of hippie fairy stuff. Or you could say, oh, there's actually biological materials and you're culturing microbes in the soil and then spreading them around, which is what's going on. So it's careful microbial management.
It's relatively easy to do. And if you don't have a cow, you can buy these amendments.
So. Yeah, it's not that hard to do. Yeah. But it's kind of funny because it has a reputation for being really out there, but it actually works for the best pot on the planet and the best wine on the planet. It's all biodynamic.
Imagine
There's
that.
A reason.
If they didn't if it didn't work, they wouldn't do it.
Right. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, Dr. Mercola, thank you for this episode of Bulletproof Radio. I think that there's some real actionable stuff that people can do.
Try
that
to get people
about.
Actionable stuff. Yeah.
You're going to get into more detail at the Bulletproof Conference.
Which is
pretty cool.
And plan on going there. Definitely go.
We're going to have 8 hydrogen machines there as well. So it'll be a hydrogen station. So
oh,
people
interesting.
Can start learning about
interesting.
Hydrogen,
yeah.
Which is super cool. And a bunch of other exhibitors.
I'm really looking forward to it.
And I'm looking forward to your talk because you've been really on top of this stuff for a long time. And you're going to be sharing stuff that you haven't talked about before.
Yeah, and I'm also going to be sharing my favorite biohacks, but I'm not going to do it in the main lecture. I have a 15-minute where I speak to everyone, and there's a breakout session. We'll be sharing those in one of the breakouts.
Oh, I'm excited to see that. Dr. Mercola, on every episode of Bulletproof Radio, I always ask people for 3 things that 3 pieces of advice you would have for someone who wants to perform better. And since you've already answered that in the last episode, people can and should hear that whole episode. What I would normally do is say 3 things you can do to mitigate EMF, but we already just listed those. So I think you got this one.
It's hard because there's so many good things, but you know, the real food, the movement, and you know, gratitude is huge, is just massively important. I mean, it's just such a good strategy. And there's another interesting tool that I think would be very useful that I just encountered, because my mother passed away a few weeks ago, and it was probably the biggest grief challenge I've had. And you know, we all have our parents, but eventually they go.
Yeah, people die.
Hopefully they do. People die. We all have people that we know and love pass away. So there's a great book, and I don't know if you've read it. It's by David Hawkins, H-A-W-K-N-S, MD-PhD.
It's called,
he's written a lot of books, and he passed. He was a brilliant physician and researcher. And he was really into energy medicine. But his last book before he went was Letting Go, The Pathway to Surrender.
Hmm.
Definite read. You've got to put it on your list.
I'll read that.
I think it's one of the most profoundly powerful and simple tools you can use. It doesn't cost you anything but the price of the book. You know, so it's $15. And, you know, it's just a simple technique that you can do, just eloquently explained, that really, not just for grief, although that's a powerful one, but just about any emotion and feeling that you have that's really destructive. You know, we all know that stress is a big issue, but you know, a lot of it, we have the tools. This gives you the tool to do that, and it doesn't really cost anything.
It's called Letting Go.
Letting Go, The Pathway to Surrender, David Hawkins, H-A-W-K-N-S.
Yeah. That is a fantastic piece of advice. I think that's the first time someone's offered a book as one of their sort of answers to that.
Because de-stress, I mean, sure, people have said stress before, but how are you going to remediate the stress?
Great advice. And people can pick up your latest book, which is Fat for Fuel, online, Amazon, on Mercola.com, all the other standard places you expect to find it. It's definitely worth your time to read that book. I will see you guys at the Bulletproof Conference. And again, Dr. Mercola, it was a pleasure having you over for lunch.
Yeah, thanks for your gracious hospitality. It was wonderful to visit your labs, and I'm inspired to probably get some of the stuff that you got down here, and great to see your garden. I hear you talk about it all the time, but it was just great. And your wife, your lovely wife, Lana.
Thank you.
She was great.
Awesome. Well, we will see you all on the next episode. If you liked this episode, if you got something useful out of it, there's a couple things you can do to say thanks. One of them is you could pick up a copy of Fat for Fuel. It's worth your time to read it and share this information. Pick up a copy of Headstrong if you don't have it. And something that authors like Dr. McCullough and I really pay attention to is online reviews. If you go to Amazon and you say, hey, this book is worth reading, and tell someone else, that is an act of service for them and for us, because we pay attention to that. It really matters. So I would be really grateful if you'd right now pick up your phone or your computer or whatever, just go to Amazon and say, this book was worth my time, because I will know when you do that. Thank you.
All right.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.